Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Here we go. This is it.
This is Top Flight Time Machine. I am Andy Hotbody Dawson. Pow, pow, pow.
I'm Sam Nifty Delaney. So what?
Welcome along. Friday morning episode. Thursday evening if you're IFS. I get sick of saying it. My highlight of the week, Sam, you ask?
Yes, I do. With my eyes. The yes. Listeners can't see that, but sometimes yeah. I urge you with my eyes.
My highlight of the week was... it was with you. Mm. You and I, for reasons that are no one's business...
Right.
You and I were together in the same room...
Physically.
...yesterday, talking to some... non-top flight time machine humans.
Yeah.
And I sat and enjoyed us both talking about ResultSpot.
Oh, that was good, yeah. Mm. How did you think I did when I began... When I undertook... There was a point at which they said, you have to understand, these people, they're nice people, they're intelligent people, they're serious, they're quite serious, important people. Yeah. And they asked us, so why do you... call your membership scheme the IFS. What's that stand for? It's the Iron Filing Society, Andy
That's
said.
It's a long story.
And they said, and why? And I'm thinking, as you told them that, I'm thinking, please let that be enough. Let them move on. It's not necessary for us to go. This is going to be a waste of valuable airspace, right?
Yeah.
And they said, but no.
It might also diminish their respect for us.
Exactly. Yeah, but then they fucking did it, didn't they? Well, why? What is that? Where does that come from? So I've taken a deep... I've looked at you. You, I thought, he's not going to tell them. So I've taken a deep breath and I thought, I'm going to fucking tell them. Right, okay, where do I start with this? We do a predictions league, football predictions against each other. We invented an imaginary robot called ResultSpot. He predicts 1-0 home games. And at this stage, already before I've got to the weird bit, they're looking at me like, this is weird, these two men... Like, they're like, one's 47, the other one's 50. What are they?
A combined age of almost 100.
Why have they invented a robot? An imaginary robot?
They've almost got an entire century between them on this planet.
Yeah.
And yet this...
I'm pretty sure they're fathers. And I go, basically we invented this robot. Yes, and where does the Iron Harness come into it?
Fictional.
Well, we made up a scenario in which the fictional robot had a breakdown and left his robot wife and got heavily into robot cocaine, which, of course, we described as iron filings. At that stage, they're like, what? And then I think, I'm not sure where I'm going, you doubled down and said, yeah. And our code for it is to tap the side of our nostril. And you acted out the nostril tap, just in case they were in any doubt as to how exactly weird we were. But I thought they were very polite. They smiled and then ushered the conversation along quite quickly after that, didn't they?
And that's why we probably won't be getting a grant from the Arts Council.
I nearly said to them, I was this close to going, I don't know why I do this, part of my... sobriety or whatever. I was really close, as you said that, to suddenly blurting out, I haven't had any coke in 8 years. Like, what would that have mattered to anyone? Thank God I held my tongue. I was desperate to say it. It's a thing about being sober, is sometimes, inexplicably, because nobody cares, you feel compelled to tell people in case they get the wrong impression. But most people don't judge either way, whether they're, you know, they think, well, you can do cocaine if you want. It's none of our business, right? Whereas I think, oh, no, maybe they think I'm still a cocaine addict. And this is just a fictional robot. We don't take cocaine. I used to, but I don't anymore.
He's just imaginary. There isn't even a drawing of him.
Yeah, so I just thank God I didn't say that, and thank God they just were like, okay, fine, let's put that to side. Let's pretend that hasn't happened and just carry on talking. And it was good, yeah. But you're right, that was a definite highlight of my day yesterday as well.
Came all the way to London for that. Well worth it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was funny. It was funny. It's funny when you kind of break out of the Top Flight Time Machine universe and have to explain. Yeah. And I'm sure it's the same for the listeners. We often get emails saying, oh, I really like the podcast, but sometimes I try to get my mates into it. Or very often it's people telling their girlfriends or their wives, oh, you should listen to it. And the question always comes, why? What is it? What's it about? And people struggle to explain. And I'm sure I get that a lot. They go, oh, see, this podcast you do, so what is it? Is it football? Not really. Well, no, it was when it started.
Yeah.
So what do you talk about? And all I actually say is, I just go, oh, we just talk bollocks.
Yeah.
And they go, oh, and quite a lot of people subscribe to that. I go, yeah, but yeah, I mean,
it's not for everyone.
It's sincere bollocks. I say that it's not like we're not just making up bollocks. We're just saying what's on our minds.
It's high grade bollocks.
We're just saying what's on. In all honesty, we're just putting it out there. What's on our minds, unfiltered, uncensored, right? And you can either take it, you can pick it up and do something with it, or you can look at it on the floor, laugh, and walk away.
Yeah, I had a similar conversation with someone recently, and they said, well, what's it about then if it's not football anymore? And I just found myself having a look at Spotify to see what the most recent sort of free-to-air stuff had been. Mm. And I found myself saying, well, yeah, we've just done 9 weeks on the aftermath of the death of Princess Diana. And, you know, that's pretty much what we are.
Well, talking of that, right, the... You know, I had my photo taken for an article in the newspaper, the one at the weekend that was in the Telegraph, right? Bloke comes around, takes a picture of me in the Vita Modular, yeah?
Oh, nice.
How should I put this? I mean, you know, he was a nice enough bloke. Bit weird.
Mm.
Bit weird. Or not weird, just not like me. Sort of like, he was quite formal. Bit,
so your definition of weird is not like me.
Yeah, exactly. He's just sort of like, okay, mate, probably I'm weird and he wasn't weird enough. Anyway, whatever it was, he turned up.
I mean, neither of you are weird.
There was two things I noticed. Two things I noticed. He was in the Vita Modular and he kept repeatedly apologising to me. And I wasn't sure why. And in the end, I had to actually say, can you stop apologising? I just said, look, you can stop apologising. None of this is any trouble and I don't mind you asking questions. And I thought, he might have it in his head because he's read the article before he's come to do the photo.
Right.
And in the article, I was probably saying, oh, I used to drink too much or whatever. And maybe he thought, oh, maybe this person's really fragile about it. And he kept apologising. Mm. But the other thing that he did was he went, you do podcasts, do you? And I go, yeah. Now, this is what he did. This could have been a power play. He said, what are they about? And I said, well, the main one I do is called Top Flight Time Machine. It's hard to explain what it's about. Blah, blah, blah. Do the spiel that we just talked about. It used to be about football. And he goes, oh, right. Okay, sorry. Sorry. He's one of those guys. Sorry. Sorry. Sorry to keep asking. Sorry. And I'm going, stop. Mate, I'm not being funny, but I've told you to stop saying sorry.
You need to fucking calm down, my friend.
I'm fucking telling you. If you say sorry once more, that zoom lens of yours is going where the sun don't fucking shine. Right, you don't.
If he's tuning into this episode to just have a little listen to what it's all about. Hi,
hi, man, and thank you for taking my photo. And I thought it turned out nice. And I don't want you to feel threatened. Not now. I've calmed down a lot. I'm just saying that you might not have realised, but you were in mortal danger at one point. The amount you were saying sorry, but it's fine. The moment's passed. Now, then he goes. So he lets me explain it. Right. He lets me explain it. Then do you know what he does?
What's
he
that?
Then says, after I've spent ages doing a shit fucking fumbling explanation of what it is, he goes like this. Yes, I did actually listen to an episode in the car on the way here. And I've thought to myself, oh, I see.
Well, he's not listening to this one then.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I'm confident. I thought, oh, I see. You can't, right? You fucking done me there, haven't you? Go on, then explain it. I've tried to explain it, probably trying to make it sound a little bit more, let's say, substantial than it actually is. And then he's gone, oh, yeah, well, yeah, yeah, keep talking, pal. I fucking listened to it on the way around there. So I've gone, oh, yeah. I said, oh, God, what were we talking about on the episode you listened to? And he said, it was about the death of Princess Diana. And I was like, oh, fucking hell. And I went, and of course, he works for the Telegraph. I mean, not that that would reflect his political views, of course. He's just a photographer. But yeah. I immediately went, but he did seem a bit posh on the posh side. And I went, oh, well, sorry if you're a royalist. I mean, I don't even think that we were anti-royalist in those Diana podcasts, apart from maybe we might have made some limp jokes about the royals murdering her.
The Queen was in it a lot, but she's dead now, so, you know.
Yeah, and actually, in all honesty, anyone who knows us and knows this podcast knows that we've never been anything other than completely respectful to Her Majesty the Queen, rest in peace, have we?
Yeah,
I mean, we've had some fun, like when we said that, you know, all right, we once said that she, if an FA Cup tie went beyond a third replay, then it was in the rules that the Queen got to decide who went through to the next round.
Yeah. And she's also in charge of dogpiling.
She's in charge of who gets dogpiled on the internet.
Who does that now?
Charles, but he's a lot more liberal. He's like I don't know if the pharmacists would have got hold of me quite so robustly under his watch.
Well, I think he's just power played his late mother, Ghost XL. He's power played her this week because I just saw a thing where, of course, the royal family own the seabed, apparently, as you'd expect.
Do they? Because that's where all the treasure is, isn't it?
Yeah, of course, it's all theirs. Mm. And there's this fucking turbines going on for renewable energy and all that down there on the seabed, apparently. Mm. And the profits from it are going to go to the royal family. And I think they could be, it's a £1 billion deal or something. And Charles has said that the profits have to go towards the wider public good.
I saw this,
so he's almost doing it as a band-aid kind of thing, maybe.
Yeah.
For Britain.
So he's monetized the seabed and he wants to reinvest the proceeds into the community.
Yeah. He's going to get food banks? What? I don't know. I
called this, mate. He's going to be a good king, this bloke.
Yeah.
He's a good kid. I mean, think of that. First thing he's come up with. I mean, all due respect to HRH, Her Majesty the Queen, RIP, but I saw an episode of The Crown where all she was doing was fucking hassling John Major for more money to do her boat up, right?
Yeah.
And I don't mean her boat race, right? Yeah. She weren't trying to get plastic surgery, if that's what you're thinking. I mean her fucking massive yacht. And she wanted money to do it up. Millions at a time of recession, right? Now, she also did a lot of good, so let's not get into that. But the first thing, he's not looking for a handout. He said, monetize the seabed, and when you get the dough, when the dough starts rolling in, I want you to give it to the local community centres for them to all get some brand new table tennis nets.
Yeah, exactly. Every community centre in the land will get a new table tennis net.
And I also want every kid who comes in there after school, and every mum who comes in there in the day for the playgroup, I want everyone to have at least one plastic cup of orange squash gratis on me, the king.
Yeah. And tell them. Fucking tell them when they get it as well.
Tell them who it's from and all. That's from the king.
So maybe she was, I don't know what the right word to use is, but maybe she said she did a lot of good, but did she?
I just said
compared to what's happening now?
Mate.
Don't know.
You should know why I said that. Because, as you know, I, and I think to a little extent you too, have been haunted by the ghost of the Queen ever since she passed away. Yeah. And she's been up to mischief. Remember when she took human form and came and sat in my front garden?
Yeah.
I don't want to provoke her anymore. So I'm trying to hold back a little bit on criticising the Queen.
The wires are getting crossed with me personally regarding that because bad things have been happening, but the trouble is I've only just took my Christmas tree down this afternoon.
You serious?
So
you had it up all this time?
Yeah.
Do you always leave it that late?
Nah, last year I didn't put up at all.
Yeah.
This year I've had it up for a month.
Is it plastic?
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing was,
my daughter was back from university for Christmas and she went back like end of last week.
So you wanted to stretch it.
And she wanted, she says, let's keep it up.
Okay.
I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying the vibe. And I says, well, fine. Because you know, it's Christmas and she's not around for long till she goes back to uni. So I did. And then it took like another 4 days to, 4 or 5 days to take it down. But I've cut my hand on 3 separate occasions this week.
Oh,
and I don't know whether that Christmas could be the tree queen. Bad luck that or could it could be the Ghost queen. XL. I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. It really could.
That
puppy drew blood out of me earlier in the week. Like, really? It can't stop nibbling. Fucking nibbled my little finger and a bit of blood came out.
You got to stop saying it.
Why? It's an it, isn't it? It's a thing.
Is it a she?
It's a she, yeah.
Is the cat a she as well?
No, it's a he.
Oh.
You've
got to watch them. Honestly,
mate. No, they're not going to hump. Although sometimes they're fighting, which I've talked about before, is so fucking demented. The other day it did look like the cat was bumming the dog because the cat jumps on its fucking, just leaps out of nowhere, out of the shadows like a bat, and then it lands on the puppy's back and it fucking sinks its teeth into the back of the puppy's neck, and then they roll and then they just have a fucking roll around, and it looks terrifying but vaguely sexual.
Do you stand at the side and shout, hump, 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 hump?
Yeah. I don't let the kids break it up. Sometimes the kids get upset because some of the stuff is wild. The dog then flips the cat over and practically puts its whole fucking little head in its jaws. And the cat and the kids get upset, and I go, leave it.
You've got to play the Attenborough card, haven't you?
Let it happen.
Let
it's
nature
natural.
Take its course.
And I'm there thinking, if one of them dies,
it dies.
Stop
crying.
Yeah, stop crying. It's nice to watch. It shows they're friends. It's nice to watch a kitten and a puppy fight, possibly to the death.
or to sexual conclusion.
Yeah, either way, keep watching.
Remember these golden moments.
This is what it's all about, kids. Animals, nature, in all its wild, bloody glory.
Untamed.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. would you like some science?
Yes.
I'm just looking to see where it is because I've fucking put it on a different page. Voyager 1. You familiar with Voyager 1?
What, a spaceship?
Is that a spaceship? It's been out there for 45 years now, since NASA launched it, 1977.
Mm.
It's travelling beyond our solar system. And apparently it is suddenly sending back unusual data that is baffling its engineers. So that could suggest there's something going on out there beyond the solar system. It's been tampered with. It's been interfered with.
Mm.
And that's a sign that there's life beyond our solar system.
Yeah, there definitely is. I'm 100% convinced of that now.
It could be that it's just knackered.
Yeah.
Because it's been gone since 1977. Apparently, it's travelled 14.5 billion miles from Earth, which makes it the farthest human-made object. Now, this, to me, suggests one of our regular phrases, fucking prove it.
Yeah, exactly. Because my first thing is, how on earth do they know that where it is? If it's gone that far, there's no way they're keeping track of it.
How is it sending messages 14.5 billion miles back here? Do you know what I mean? Rod Hull couldn't even get into Milan versus Man United on his telly 20 years ago. He had to get up on the roof.
Exactly. There's no way they're tracking that. I mean, I've got Find My iPhone, right? So I can track not just my iPhone. Devices, but those devices of my daughter when she is out and about.
You've told me this before, yeah.
So I can spy. But, you know, that only stretches so far. I can't get her in, like, faraway postcodes. I mean, if she went...
Oh, really?
If she went right up to North London, I don't know. Maybe I'd find her, maybe I wouldn't. But billions of miles, come on.
Yeah. So they, Voyager 1. No sign of what Voyager 2's doing. But Voyager 1, 14 and a half. It takes light 20 hours and 33 minutes to get to Voyager's current interstellar location. 14 and a half billion miles away. That's bollocks, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's got to be.
Not buying that, mate. No way. No way.
That could be a new feature. Science, yes or no.
Yeah, Yeah.
I'll put something like that to you and you decide. You decide the science, Sam.
Someone sent us a thing, I think it was today, about how viruses are, killer viruses are encased in ice in the Antarctic or the Arctic.
Melting permafrost.
Once the frost melts due to global warming, then the viruses are released, and then we all die of that before the gamma rays of the sun kill us.
By the year 2100, as much as 2/3 of the Arctic's near surface permafrost could be lost, and this could potentially unearth viruses and bacteria that have been sequestered.
Ooh.
It says sequestered for tens of thousands of years.
Again, how do they know what's in there?
It's a guess, isn't it? The whole point is
that ice, nobody knows what could be inside of that ice. Because, you know, ice preserves everything. So for all we know, there is a killer virus, maybe the one that wiped out the dinosaurs and the cavemen, right? Maybe that's encased in there. And what I'm saying is, if it melts, don't worry about us dying of global warming, then germs will get out and kill us quicker than that. That is basically what some fucking chancer scientist is up on stage at Davos saying right now. Yeah. And he's being paid for it as well.
Yeah.
What a scam.
In 2016, a 12-year-old boy died and around 100 people became sick with anthrax poisoning in a region of Siberia that hadn't seen an outbreak in over 70 years. Scientists think the outbreak was caused by anthrax spores released from a decades-old reindeer carcass that was newly exposed by thawing permafrost.
Well, for a start, reindeers aren't real. That's like you saying a unicorn. Reindeers are just like fantastical.
Santa stories, aren't they?
Yeah, it's not a fucking real animal.
A decades-old reindeer carcass exposed by thawing permafrost. So, again, fucking prove it, is what we're saying.
Mm.
And thanks to Simon Cantor, who sent that in.
Jalapeño.
Here's a brief but annoying message to let you know that you wouldn't be hearing this brief but annoying message if you were a subscriber to our Iron Filing Society Patreon offering.
For the price of a pint and a St. Clement's each month, you can get up to 4 episodes a week, 9 months before the rest of the world gets them. Early access to regular episodes, lots of other marvellous benefits, and there's absolutely no adverts or brief but annoying messages like this that will get right on your tics.
Find out more and subscribe now at tftimemachine.com/ironfilings.
Jalapeño.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass!" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Jalapeño.
There's a few other nice emails lying around.
There's a bullshit one which looked quite good.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, go on then.
This is from Martin. Oh, this is Martin from the Vietnamese Earflow Hospital story.
Mm, great story.
Earflow, yeah. Good name for a book, that, the Earflow. All right, lads, says Martin. Number one, a bullshit. When we were 11, my friend went to Florida for 2 weeks and came back with an American accent.
Yeah, I know a few people who've done that.
After 2 weeks?
Yeah, my brother-in-law went to work in LA about 15 years ago for, I think it was a couple of fortnight spells, and he kept referring to when he lived in LA for a few years afterwards. I spent some time, he kept saying, I spent some time working in LA. Like, he was using as many, like, different variations of words as he could to indicate to anyone present that he'd had to go to LA for work and basically settle there for a time. And we were like, mate, you went for 2 fucking weeks. And also, my mates, one of my best mates' sisters came back from a month with relatives in America when we were teenagers, and she affected an American accent for quite a while. It's common, unfortunately.
That the transatlantic accent thing freaks me out. Simon Pegg did a video recently that went viral where he was kicking off about the government.
I couldn't work out whether that was a joke or not. I saw that video. I thought he was taking the piss at first.
Oh, I think he was real.
He was just really angry and thought he'd have a right rant up.
In a car.
And he had a transatlantic accent. There was something funny about that video, mate. I tell you.
There's something funny about Simon Pegg, if you ask me.
There isn't.
Dead behind the eyes. But, you know, a lot of people like him. Friend went to Florida for 2 weeks, came back with an American accent, saying it was permanent and there was no way he could switch back to English. This lasted until a teacher told him to stop being a clown. Part two. In September, I picked up a cute-looking, attention-seeking cat. Oh, this is going down the rabies road, isn't it?
Yeah. Can see where this is heading straight away.
Yeah. In Istanbul. Oh, my God. Which immediately dug its claws into my arm. I spent 3 days panicking. You have to have the vaccine in this time frame. And was turned away from a distant that hospital. Turkish cats don't have rabies. That's what he's put in the fucking email. I took myself to a distant that vet who wiped it with iodine 3 days after the incident. After 4 months.
Good as new.
Good as new.
20 drachma.
After 4 months, I've just calmed myself down, and now you two start with rabies mania content, which is shitting me up. Can you reassure me I will survive? As if not, I need to get my affairs in order and cancel my IFS subscription. Don't cancel your IFS subscription.
That's a threat. He's basically saying to us, unless we give him reassurance, he's going to withdraw funding from us. I don't appreciate threats. And come on, mate, if you think that you've got fucking rabies, right, don't come and ask us. We're just talking about rabies. That we're not positioning ourselves as scientists or doctors.
Yeah.
Right?
Don't shoot the messengers.
Just fucking, we're talking about rabies. Talking about it doesn't mean that we're the fucking experts. We're seekers of truth. Yes, that is true. And we are also conduits. We're truth conduits, I would say.
Yeah.
But what we're not, if you're worried that you might have rabies, mate, get yourself to the GP. Don't rely on two podcasters diagnosing you. For a start, even if we had a chance of diagnosing you, we'd want a physical examination first, and that's not possible.
If our official TFTM Dr. Loreline is listening, and she's got anything to add to that, then get in touch.
She might give you a Zoom consult.
Yeah.
It's very simple, mate. Are you foaming around the mouth? First question. And have you started howling at all, especially around dinner time? And the last one is, when you take a shit now, do you first turn 360 degrees this way and that 3 times before laying a cable?
Find in the right spot.
If that's the case, I would definitely go and get yourself checked out, because those things are the real hallmarks of rabies. In humans.
But what I would also say to Martin and any other listener who is about to die, don't cancel your IFS subscription.
No.
Pass it on to a loved one in your will. Pass on the login details and, you know, information about how to access it, depending on their podcast app of choice, because every time they listen to it in the future, they'll think of you. So there's no need to go cancelling anything just because you're dying.
No. Leave it to your estate, for God's sake. Don't punish us. We're the ones trying to raise awareness of fucking rabies.
In trust, or whatever it's called.
Rabies is really going down a storm with the audience. People are very grateful for our rabies content, and they're right to be. If you're not IFS, I suppose you're not getting it, but you should really think of at least doing entry-level IFS, because the rabies content is, it's going down like free ice cream, as they say.
2023 is definitely... definitely the year of the rabies.
I didn't realise people had so much emotional investment in their in rabies and their memories. There's so much nostalgia around rabies. It's wonderful.
Yeah, it is. It's a good time. It's a good time to be alive.
Yeah,
a reminder that you don't actually have rabies. Unless you do, of course. to do some predictions?
Yeah.
We'll leave the big one to last. I think you know what I'm talking about. We'll start with Liverpool versus Chelsea. What do you reckon, Sam?
Ooh, interesting. Two giants who are really struggling badly.
Fucked at the minute, yeah.
Liverpool versus Chelsea at Anfield. Fucking hell. It's so hard to call.
It's impossible to predict.
It's like I've never been stumped by a prediction so much. Yeah. I think that Liverpool will win this 2-1.
Oh, I'm going to go 2-0 Liverpool. As always, result spot says 1-0 to the home team. Bournemouth versus Nottingham Forest. I'll go first this time. And I think this will be 2-1 to Nottingham Forest.
2-1 to Nottingham Forest. Yeah. Forest got a good result the other week, didn't they? They're not a bad team. I'm going to say 1-0.
Okay. Yeah, they're out of the relegation zone. They look destined for survival, possibly. Leeds versus Brentford.
Leeds versus Brentford. I'm going to go for an away win. I'm going to say 1-0 Brentford.
I'll go for 0-0 this one. Don't know why. Sunderland versus Middlesbrough. Sunday lunchtime.
Oh,
Weirties derby. Live on your TVs.
Weirties. Nice to say, isn't it? Weirties.
Weirties. Sunderland versus Middlesbrough.
What's the animosity levels like? Not that much?
It's pretty not bothered. It's actually, you call it the Atletico Mints derby, if you like. I forgot to say
that.
That's what people do tend to say.
Yeah.
We got on Match of the Day 2 a few years ago when this fixture was coming around in the Premier League.
To talk about it, really?
To do predictions.
What's the animosity like between you and Bob about it?
It's just indifference.
Indifference.
Really.
Don't care enough,
but
do you?
I think Middlesbrough win this 1-0.
Middlesbrough are doing well under Michael Carrick, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Who I always really liked as a player. Seems like a nice chap, but there's something slightly... I don't know.
Sluggish?
Yeah, I don't feel inspired or invigorated by his presence, do you?
Well, it's working for them, so...
I read his book once, and it was one of the most boring things I've ever read in my life. I like to read books of players who started out West Ham to get... Especially that generation who all started out together in Rio and everyone. It's sort of like, I wonder what that was like. I'm fascinated by that. And he made it sound like the most fucking dull thing ever. I saw some... There's a really good Twitter account that I've been enjoying a lot recently, which you probably know. And it's called When Football Was Good. I think called that. Do you know
it? I've seen that one. Yeah.
Right. When Football Was Better. It's really good. It's not as good as Sid Lambert's account, which is the best of that sort of retro football footage genre, but it is very good. And he's been specialising recently in post-match interviews from the old days, you know, saying that they were much better and more candid. Fucking hell. There was one when Man United had just completed the double and they're all clearly hungover. And I just thought that, and even the reason I thought of it was the player that we used to say was the most bland footballer of all time was Dennis Irwin, who we once said opened his own restaurant franchise that only served tap water and dry bread, right? Right. And but he was actually quite a laugh because they were all like pissed from the night before because they'd won it the night before. So the game was meaningless. But they somehow won it 4-0 anyway. And they're all laughing and pissed and going, yeah, we were rubbish, but we won 4-0 anyway, so who cares? Ah. So that was good. But then yesterday there was one of Neville Southall after Everton had just won the cup in 95. And Ray Stubbs goes to him, those saves you made at the end of the game must have been some of the best saves of your career. And Neville Southall goes, no, not really. Right. You must be feeling great. And you can feel all of them in that. You can hear all his mates, all his teammates in the background pissing themselves because he's such great. And he goes, yeah, I feel all right. And they go, you must be going out tonight. There's going to be a club dinner and party to celebrate. you must be going to, looking forward to that. And he went, nah, he's literally just come from it. He goes, I won't be going to that. He goes, you have to go with your teammates. He goes, listen, if you've known this lot for as long as I have, you'd know I'm not going. And he's deadly class. Serious. He's not taking a piss. He's just going, no, I'm not going. I think, fucking good man.
Yeah.
Good excellent. Man.
I'll have a look at that.
Yeah.
Get it back to Sunderland versus Middlesbrough,
though. Oh, yeah. Okay. I'll say 1-0. Because I all don't right, really
fair
know.
Enough.
Yeah.
It's a derby match. They're usually 1-1, yeah. aren't they? Finally, West Ham United versus Everton.
El Sacchio.
The big one.
El Sacchio.
Fucking hell. Yeah.
I am convinced that whatever the result, both these managers will be out of a job by this time next week. I think the vibe at West Ham is that the rumour is that they've made their mind up that he's got to go.
Right.
He's yeah. lost the dressing room completely. Rice isn't right. happy, blah, blah, blah. But David Gold, one of our co-owners, passed away the other
he
week.
Yeah.
And this is the first home game. And right. the whole game will be devoted to a right proper East End send-off. Just okay. like old yeah. Violet when she passed away.
Well, it'll be coaching horses around the perimeter of the pitch.
All of that.
Plumes.
There will be a feathers. Lot of plumes and a lot of Cockney tears being shed by grown
I'll
men.
Bet. Yeah.
And the whole thing will be a tribute to him. West Ham sometimes are addicted to tributes. That's the Cockney way. We
is.
Don't feel comfortable unless we're having a tribute. Yeah. So when like, they, when Mark, no, first it was like, we're farewell Bolin. Farewell Bolin was what our last season at Upton Park was branded by the marketing yeah, people.
The entire season.
Karen yeah. Brady. But it was weird because I didn't know anyone at West Ham who'd ever called Upton Park the Bowling Ground, which was its official name, but literally no one ever said it ever.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know anyone at West Ham who'd ever used the word farewell. I mean, you know, you say bye or see you later, don't you?
Yeah.
You don't say farewell. So
not a Cockney thing to say, is it?
Some fucker has come up with farewell Bolin, right? And the Darth fans, we've all gone along with it. Yeah, all right, yeah. Farewell Bolin, I get it. I'll buy into that. It's a fucking marketing scam. Everyone bought T-shirts with it on and everything. Ridiculous. So first there was that. Then there was farewell, Mark Noble. Godspeed, you Cockney angel. Right. We'll never see your like again.
Farewell. Did they retire the shirt number?
Rest easy up there in heaven with Her Majesty and, of course, Captain Tom.
Bobby Moore.
He's not dying. He's just retiring. He's going to Florida for a couple of months. He'll be
it's
back
the same
soon.
Thing.
He's, he might as well be dead. He won't be turning out on a Saturday for the Hammers no more.
We might always well be dead.
Yeah. Right. So then there was that, and now there's David Gold's passed away. David Gold, who a section of West Ham support have been wishing death upon, sometimes to his sometimes to his face for several yeah. years. But yeah. nevertheless, it'll be one of our own has passed to the other side. Right. Anyway.
I watched the Sky Sports News when it broke, when the yeah. news broke that he passed away, and the tributes were long and fulsome. Mm. But at no point did they mention his incredibly lengthy career in pornography.
No. But what I would say about his career in pornography is that, you know, I got every respect for it. I mean, you know, everyone's got to make a living. Pornography is a thing. Obviously, there is an exploitative side of it. But as I understand, he was just in mags and dildos. I might have that wrong.
Right.
Yeah. So
nothing seedy.
No, just porno mags. I mean, you know, we all used yeah. to read them. He made a fortune out of them. And I think fair enough, like, everyone who owns a club has earned their money one way or another that you could sort of sneer at. So
yeah, but they didn't mention it at all. They didn't even no, mention because he's like, a, mask it he, by calling it publishing or anything he, like that.
He's famous, especially when it's Sky Sports, he's famous as a club owner. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's the only reason he's on it. So they talk about his long career in football because, of course, before he was at West Ham, he owned Birmingham. Mm. So he's, you know, I think that that side of his career was more relevant. And actually, Sullivan... Oh, nightmare. Karen Brady, fucking nightmare, mate. David Gold, kindly old man.
Good as gold, literally.
He was all right. And I met him a couple of times. Me and Len bumped into him once. He was very kind to Len and, you know, had all the time in the world. And
yeah.
I didn't mind him. However, the thing about he stitched me now, that bloody David Gold, by the timing of his death, right?
Mm.
So now I've gone right off him. because he's dead and the Everton game is the first home game after his death, the club don't want to sack David Moyes prior to that for two reasons. One is all of the media coverage would surround David Moyes being sacked, right? And that, and so maybe the tributes to David Gold would get overlooked. Secondly, yeah. David Moyes and David Gold were particularly close. It was David Gold who championed Moyes for the job, right. Not once but twice.
Okay.
So Moyes has recorded a number of very moving and eloquent video tributes that will be appearing on our Jumbotron before the match on Saturday.
Oh, and Sullivan's gone. You just got to sit there and take them.
Sullivan's gone, we can't sack him before that. Some of the best content on our tribute videos by Moyesy. We can't sack him.
If he was going to come on the screen and it didn't say anything else at all, you'd just all be booing him.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's about David Gold, you can't.
So they want to wait. So I think that even if he wins, he'll go. And I think probably either Dyche or Benitez will be our manager by this time next week, which is fucking wholly uninspiring. Fucking, I mean, you know a manager's uninspiring.
Bring back the tree, man.
Well, when you're fucking wishing, when you find yourself wishing for Sean Dyche, you know you're in trouble. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because Benitez has got to be one of the most fucking uninspiring managerial appointments you can imagine. And as for Lampard, he'll go too. And I don't doubt that David Moyes will walk straight into his job next week. So everyone's a winner apart from Frank Lampard.
That's what we like. So prediction then, what do you reckon?
I think it will be, I'm going to say 1-0 to Everton.
Oh, fucking hell. I think West Ham will win this. I think it'll be 2-0. And it'll be the end for Frankie boy. And I think Moyes will get a reprieve.
Oh, don't say that, you bastard.
We'll see.
No, not now, surely.
Right, that's it then. Unless you've got anything else you want to chuck in.
No, one thing though. Saw a nice video of a 70s Muscle Man earlier. And it reminded me that the Muscle Man song. Bum, 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 bum.
Was it the one, was that the music that was on it when you saw it?
Yeah, it was.
That's from Opportunity Knocks, I think.
And his name is something like Stuart Thompson,
right?
Or Tony Thomas or something
Tony
like that.
Someone, wasn't it? Yeah, because he was the famous muscle man of the 70s.
And he did the thing with his tummy.
Yeah.
Where it went in and out, in and out. Before six packs. He had a completely different shaped muscle in his stomach that existed back then, but then got replaced by the six pack, evolution.
It might have just been a hernia. Don't know.
It looks fucking weird, but I enjoyed watching it, and I just was reminded of the Muscle song and how that forevermore, no one, I don't know if it's still the case today with kids, but certainly no one of our generation would ever feign showing off their muscles without simultaneously humming that song. Do you know what I mean? Bum, 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 bum. It's got a name. It's called something like Muscle Cha-Cha.
It's called Wheels Cha-Cha.
Wheels Cha-Cha. It's a lovely song.
Yeah, he won Opportunity Knocks. That, it was a
just
talent show.
Just for having muscles?
Just for having muscles. We've got to do that thing with him.
His muscles aren't even that... I mean, I'm not... You know, listen, I'm not being out of order. He seemed like a nice man. But I was looking at it thinking, his muscles aren't that big.
Mm. You're seeing past tense there, seemed. He's still alive, apparently.
Oh, better watch what I say. He might come round and muscle me.
He's fucking 83. He's 83, but he's still knocked you around the ring. He won Opportunity Knock six times.
He
won 6 weeks in a row.
I'll do a muscle off with him. If he wants to come round and fucking muscle him, he better muscle me. He better bring his dinner. I will challenge him to a muscle confrontation.
Well, let's get it set up for Muscle Fortnight when that comes round again.
Oh, yeah, Muscle Fortnight soon. Yeah, I'll keep my powder dry until then. I'll get in training.
Oh, I wish you'd mentioned Muscle Fortnight at that meeting yesterday.
Now, look, enough of this robot cocaine. Let's get down to brass tacks and talk about Muscle Fortnight, our yearly campaign to raise awareness around muscles and strength.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.